So scripture reading today is from Mark chapter 13, 24 through 37. But in those days following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. This is the reading of God's holy word. Thanks be to God.
It is because you are great, God, that we give you all of our praise. You are the one who has given us all things. You've given us life. You've given us hope. You've given us yourself. So today, we just offer back ourselves. As we receive from you, from your word, may we respond with open hearts, open minds, open ears, open eyes to see and to know and to believe and to do the things that matter to you. We thank you so much for your presence here today. And we ask your blessing on the receiving of your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, all God's people said, Amen and Amen. I invite you to take your seats. We're going to do love God, love neighbor, all right? Love God.
Love neighbor.
Love neighbor.
Love God.
Amen. Well, here we are. It's already been mentioned, and you see all around you. It is the first Sunday of Advent. And I don't want to assume that everybody knows what Advent is, because I didn't know what Advent was for several, at least a decade, maybe 15 years of my Christian life. As many of you know, I did not grow up in the church. I became a Christian at age 15, and then discovered Advent about 15 years ago at a Covenant Church in Oakland, California. And so I just want to make sure that we understand a little bit of what Advent is. The church, as I mentioned last week, but want to remind us again, the church universal follows a different calendar than the standard, civic calendar. Not that we don't match up at times, of course we do, but for 1,000+ years, the church has had a different cycle than starting the new year January 1st, okay? The church worldwide, still today, follows a different calendar where the church year begins the first Sunday of Advent. So, Happy New Year from the church. And so this begins the church calendar, which is a little funny, but is purposeful so, in order to kind of jar us from the living according to the world's time and try to reorient us to living according to God's time. And so especially for those of us who are Christians, we follow Jesus Christ, The birth of Jesus is the reorienting. It is the break, the separation between one age and another. Jesus came, he was born, and that just launched a whole new way of the world. God fulfilling his salvation promises through the coming of Christ. And that's what the word Advent means. It means to come or arrival. So Advent begins this first Sunday really with the second coming of Christ as our anticipation of, again, a whole new understanding of time and of history, waiting and expecting and anticipating the return of Christ. And then these Sundays between now and Christmas, the four Sundays before Christmas, as we lead to celebrating the first Advent, the first coming of Christ there in the manger. So I hope that helps you understand a little bit about what Advent is. And of course, Advent has a lot of symbols that help us remember all these things to orient us around the message of Christ and around the coming of Christ, his first coming and his second coming. So you saw all those wonderful chrismans and heard explanations of all these wonderful symbols and images of Christmas. For our total 4 weeks of Advent, this Advent season, our church is celebrating the theme, the image, the symbol of light. Jesus, who is the light of the world. Amen. So we've got this beautiful stream of light coming from the heavenlies here. And we've got all this beautiful decor with the lights that remind us of him who is the light of the world. So that's what we're going to be talking about over the next 4 weeks, is Jesus, the light. And this first Sunday, being the focus on the second coming of Christ, we're going to be talking about the return of the light. The return of our Lord Jesus. And so that's why we had this probably surprising passage, maybe, to you for today from Mark chapter 13. This passage about destruction and doom and darkness and all these images that seem to be counter to light. You know what I'm saying? All of this, the idea of the night and everything going dark. So let's unpack this a little bit as we look to what's in this passage for us today. I really see in this passage, Mark chapter 13, being a combination of reminding us of Jesus' first coming, because here he is in the flesh, all right, teaching, okay? So that was his first coming. And about his second coming, it talks about the day when the Son of Man is going to return, and about the in-between time, how we are to love God and love neighbor in this in-between time while we are waiting for his second coming, his return, his second advent. Now, we just read these verses starting at 24, but these verses fall in at the end, at the tail end of a longer teaching of Jesus with his disciples. Just as Jesus has come in for his final week of his earthly life, he comes into Jerusalem. And as he comes into Jerusalem, his disciples are all excited. Of course they would be excited. Jerusalem for the Jews was the center of the universe. They come to this place, it's the festival of Passover, it's full of life and energy and excitement and celebration, and here they are with their Lord, the one who they believe is the Messiah, the Savior, who was promised to deliver the Israelites, the Jews, from the slavery of sin and from oppression of their of the tyrants who ruled over them. And so they're excited. And as they come into the city, they kind of have what I think of as a Little Red Riding Hood moment. You know, Little Red Riding Hood came to her grandmother's house and she said, "Oh, what big teeth you have. What big ears you have." Well, the disciples come into Jerusalem and they say, "What big stones we have that make up the temple. What big buildings we have that make up this city." They are enamored. They are amazed. And Jesus says to them something in some ways very disheartening, I would imagine. He says, "You see all these magnificent and grand buildings? Well, those are wonderful things. They were built to honor God. It was the place where the people worshiped God according to God's commandments and His instructions." He says, "But not one stone will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." Have you ever been with like a Debbie Downer? Okay? Or a pessimistic Pete? A wah, wah, wah. "Look at all these great buildings and everything so grand and beautiful and all this stuff. It's the place where we worship God. But it's all going to be destroyed." So after that nice segue, Jesus goes on and he tells them, "Be careful, watch out." And this phrase, "watch out," will continue throughout this teaching. "Watch out, I am warning you that there will be some who will come after I am gone, after I leave you to go to my heavenly throne, as I leave this earthly place, and as you wait for me to return, there will be false prophets. There will be dark days of violence. There will be persecution. And in fact, the temple will be destroyed." Now, just real quickly, the temple, as God designed it, was the touch point between heaven, God's dwelling place, and earth. And so at the temple is where God's presence was. And in Jerusalem, God's holy city, this was the touch point between our earthly lives and the divine. The heavenly realm. And so for God's house to be destroyed, for God's holy city to be destroyed, that would cause, I'm sure, some great distress. We know what it's like to have threat of violence and actual violence. We can look back in just the last 15 years. We only have to go back to 9/11 to know the fear and the dread when your home is attacked. And so the same for the Jews. And so this caused them great distress. And in this time of that Jesus is warning them, and for this news that they are receiving, after all of those warnings, we get to the end of this teaching, where we find ourselves in the passage today. And being true to the first Sunday of Advent, also being the Sunday of hope, the hope candle that was written, we have a message of hope. This message of hope about the second coming of our Lord, our Savior. Jesus says, again in verse 32, he says, "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know the time or the hour. Not even the Son of Man knows, only the Father in heaven. And it will be like this. It will be like a master who went away on a trip, and he left his house in the hands of his servants. And those servants did not know when the master was going to come back. The promise was the master would come back. That's the hope. Jesus being the master, Jesus is going to come back. That is our great hope. But this teaching of Jesus lands then on what do we do in the in-between time. The master will leave his house and put his servants in charge, each one with their assigned task, and tells one of them to stay at the door and to watch. We've been on watch for 2,000 years, waiting for Jesus to come back. And there are times when it seems as if he might not. And there are other times where it seems this is now the very moment when he will come back. But we don't know the day or the hour. So for those who want to try to predict when Jesus is going to come back, be very leery of those predictions. Instead of following and chasing after those predictions, Jesus tells us that we need to be on watch. We need to be prepared. We need to be anticipating. And we need to be doing our assigned tasks. We talked about this last week to some degree, about Jesus telling us to take care of the least, the last, and the lost. I believe also during this time, it is not just about us taking care of them, but it is also about us seeing what we can learn from the least and the last and the lost. What do they teach us about Jesus? If we see the face of Jesus in them, what does that tell us about our Lord and Savior? How do we receive grace as we also offer grace? How do we receive blessing as we also offer blessing to those who are in need? The reverse Advent bags. Caring for those in our congregation who are going through times of grief, great loss in their lives, hardship, struggle, sickness, cancer. How do we learn from one another and care for each other in this in-between time, showing Jesus as well as seeing Jesus in one another? Keep watch. Not so much sitting back and just waiting and wondering and, oh, he's coming again someday soon, or, oh, he's right around the corner, but doing the assigned tasks. Growing and loving and serving. So here are a few things that I think that we can have as takeaways. We need to be prepared for the return of Christ. The first step is, do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? The first step is, have you given your life to Him? Acknowledged that you are separated from Him by sin, and to confess and repent of that sin and receive His forgiveness and receive the wonderful gift of eternal life. This is by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. It is not by our works that we are saved. So turn your life to Christ. As you prepare and know that it is inevitable that He will return. Like that painting out in our narthex, the return of Christ, a reminder that He will come again, and we look forward to that day. And yet, though we are saved by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone, and not by works, we are also called to be faithful to our God, to do the tasks that He has assigned. Or as Paul will write in that very famous passage in Ephesians, the good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. To love Him with all that we are and to love our neighbor. in whatever ways that would call us to do so. And then while we are waiting, to grow in our relationship with him. See, this illustration that he uses here could be like the when the cat's away, the mice will play type of scenario. While the Son of Man is up in the heavenlies and we know he's not present here, kind of watching over us and making sure that all things are going right. Well, friends, we can't have that attitude. We need to be conscious of growing in our relationship with God and growing in our relationship with one another. We need to serve God and serve our neighbor. And so that is the wonderful message of Advent. Preparing our hearts, anticipating his second coming as we look forward to celebrating his birth on Christmas Day. And in the in-between time, to be faithful to the assigned tasks to which he has called us to do. Let us pray. Our great and awesome God, we do give you thanks for who you are and for your great love for us. As we come to your table, may you prepare our hearts. May we be found faithful. And may you give us insight and understanding about how we can follow you and be true to the things that you have called us to do. We are thankful that we are saved by your amazing grace. By faith in Jesus Christ because of his work on the cross, dying for us, his body bruised, his blood shed, so that we may have hope. Hope to spend eternity with you. As we prepare our hearts for this time, O God, of coming to this table, may we take a few moments to reflect on our own hearts. Are we prepared? Will we be found faithful? And what is it that you would have each one of us to do and our church to do in your name? To love you with all that we are and to love our neighbors. So God, we just take this moment of quiet reflection to hear from your Spirit. Amen.